So we have some pretty rough readings here, the second reading, and then, of course, this one from Jesus talking about the fires of Gehenna, and if your hand is your problem, cut it off, your foot, cut it off, pluck out your eye if it's causing you to sin. And this is, of course, the way Jesus will sometimes preach in hyperbole. That means he magnifies the contrast of what he's talking about because he's preaching to deaf people and blind people. And sometimes you've got to just magnify the contrast so people get it. And that's what he's doing here. But there's another thing about this particular way that Jesus preaches, I think, that is significant. And that is that behind this kind of preaching, there is also a great deal of his provision and fidelity. God in Jesus Christ is with us. He is God with us, Emmanuel. He supports us. He laid down his life for us. He demonstrates his love for us. He's faithful. He's committed to us. And he basically gives us everything we need to accomplish his will this side of the grave so we can live with him forever on the other. And that includes, by the way, falling and getting up again, because that's also part of our journey. In fact, the Old Testament has a proverb. It says, the just man falls seven times a day, and the unjust only once. Of course, the unjust, once they fall, they stay down. Discouragement, they give up. And see, who helps us get up again? Well, Jesus Christ helps us to get up again because he's helping us on the journey. He's with us. And this comes out really beautifully, I think, in today's first reading as well, the way that Jesus is with us and the way he helps us. He's faithful to us. We have in the first reading a scene from the time when the Israelites are in the desert. It's from the book of Numbers. And they're wandering around in the desert. And of course, Moses is endowed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's the lawgiver. And whenever the people get into disputes with each other, they always would come to Moses to hear God's decision on their disputes and their fighting with each other. And Moses would sit there all day and listen to them, and it got to be so much of a burden for him, he finally just said to the Lord, I can't carry this people all by myself anymore. I can't do it. And the Lord said, okay, then I'll take some of the Spirit on you and share it with 72 elders you choose from all the tribes. Pick out good, quality, trustworthy people who will be able to come forward, and I will take some of the Spirit on you and give it to them. And then they can help you with all these disputes and everything. And that's where we come to in today's first reading. There is, the Lord came down from the cloud and spoke to Moses, taking some of the Spirit that was on Moses and bestowing it upon the 70 elders, two of whom, making for 72, were in the camp, Eldad and Medad, and they started to prophesy. And Joshua, hearing them prophesy, because they weren't with the other ones, they were in the camp, they didn't come out. Joshua says, Moses, stop them from prophesying, and Moses cries out, and he says, would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his Spirit on them all. That's the cry of Old Testament man and woman. He's longing for the day when not just him and these 72 have the gift of the Spirit, everyone has the gift of the Spirit. And guess what? That's the time we're living in. All of us here when we were baptized, received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, in the Old Testament, only select individuals received the Holy Spirit. David, the great king. Here we have Moses, the lawgiver, the prophets, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hezekiah, all 12 of them, Daniel, the great scribe Ezra, the great governor Nehemiah, they all received the Holy Spirit, and the rest of the people didn't. They hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. And Moses is crying out in the desert for that day. And guess what? We're living in those days now. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we were baptized, He's dwelling in you right now. And by way of that Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you're made well disposed to receive from this holy altar the sacred food that we receive. And if I was to do something or we do something that grieves the Holy Spirit, serious sin in some way, whereby the Holy Spirit departs from us, we then go to the sacrament of reconciliation in order that Jesus might restore His Holy Spirit to us that we lost through sin, and once again are then able to partake of the sacred food from this altar. It's not by our own merits or anything like that. It's the gift of the Spirit dwelling in us that renders us well disposed to receive what is being given here. We participate in the holy communion of the church by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We belong to the holy communion. We're on the ark of Noah in the midst of a world that's getting kind of throwing us around, but we're on the ark by way of our baptism. The Holy Spirit incorporates us, and we're protected, we're safe, and we're fed for the journey. Now, the other thing that the Holy Spirit does in His fidelity is He seeks to guide you in your life. He actually does attempt to guide you and instruct you. I found this out. The best example I could think of to try to illustrate this for you is the many years I spent teaching at Franciscan University, and so many young people over nearly 30 years of being there would come up to me and say, "Father Dan, would you be my spiritual director?" And I would say, "Sure," and we would get together. And over the years, what I learned, and I would always say this to them when I would start with them, "You know what? I'm not your spiritual director. The Holy Spirit is your spiritual director. What I'll try to do is help you listen to what the Spirit's trying to teach you. Should I marry this man? Is this the man? Well, if my name was Jesus, I could tell you. Let's go to him and ask. Is it this woman? Is she the one?" They're trying to listen. They're trying to take that in. Is this the one I'm meant to give my life to? How about this for a major? What about, I mean, consulting the Lord? How many people actually are thinking this way today? That's what we call spiritual life. It's life in the Holy Spirit. Life can be lived as though God doesn't exist. I can live my life as though I have no transcendent relationship to Him on a daily basis. But that's not spiritual life. That's just natural life, and it ends by going to the grave. And it's over. But that's not our call. We have been endowed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is seeking to teach you and help you to know how to raise your children. Some of the tough decisions there. How to go to school, in grade school, in high school, university. How to live with your peers in a meaningful way. I remember one time Soon after, I became the chair of the Department of Theology, again, learning how the Spirit guides us. Over the years, I've learned that, at least in my case, the Spirit usually doesn't speak in propositional phrases or even commands, like, go do this, and I get this sentence in my head. No, it's not quite like that. There's a movement a lot of times. Or a lot of times what he would do is he'll let me see something. I don't go looking for it. I'm not looking for this. I see it, and I got it, you know. He says, that needs addressing. And I found this out when I was made chair of the Department of Theology at Franciscan. This was, I spent 7 years. Now, the Department of Theology at Franciscan University is the largest in the country. We had 440 majors. Now, this is not a seminary. This is a regular liberal arts university like any other ones. TCU, we're much smaller than TCU, but we had a very large Department of Theology. And the only word I can do to explain that is God. That's all I can say. The next after us, at that time at least, we had 440 majors. The next after us was the University of Notre Dame with 230 majors. And so I became chair, and I remember early on, I just become chair, I remember seeing something in the department. And I even forget what it was now. And I thought to myself, you know, someone needs to do something about that. And then I just went on. And I go to prayer every day, and about a week later, I'm in prayer, and I just hear this gentle voice. It's not like down my throat or anything, but I just hear this voice, what are you going to do about that? And I knew exactly what it was referring to. It was that thing a week ago, and all of a sudden I realized, oh yeah, that's right, I'm chair of the department. I got to do something about that. You know, I'm kind of getting used to this. I just scoot over it and not have to deal with it. But now I'm chair. And I noticed that's how he worked with me as chair. He would let me see things and find things out. I wasn't trying to look for them or anything. And then I'd go, oh no, I got to deal with this one too. And yeah, this is it. Okay. But that's how it works sometimes, huh? We see things, and a lot of times we're not even looking for them, but we might be able to do something about it. And when you step up and you start to address that, the Holy Spirit's with you, and you are living. That's kingdom living. That's spiritual life. That's life in the Holy Spirit. And see, that's what accounts for this kind of language that Jesus is talking about, if your hand is your problem, cut it off, etc. Because he can make these kinds of demands because he's also with us all the way, constantly. He's so faithful. He equips us in every way we need to get us into the kingdom. Nothing is lacking to us. And as a result of that, he does challenge us. He does make challenges that way. And to recognize that sometimes that does mean, yes, helping us get up again, even if it's from feeling discouraged or like you want to throw in the towel. Yeah, we got to get up again and be on our way. So listen, tune in. You have a spiritual director. He's living within you, the Holy Spirit. You receive that Spirit in baptism. Faith comes through hearing. Listen, what's he trying to say to you as you go about your life out there? He knows it in all its details. I like to say, even this morning, I'm not sure if it happened, but if I lost any hairs in the shower this morning, he knows it. He's got the details. He knows us right down to the details, and he's with us. So let's seek to listen. Faith comes through hearing. Listen
to your spiritual director within you.